So welcome everyone. We're let's see, Tuesday Live with Linda, and it's the 11th of August, and I'm always so really looking forward to this day with you all. Glenn from Botswana wrote a little earlier and said he's had so much going on this week that he's not going to join us this time, but we'll have him here in spirit with us. And I'd really love it if those of you who don't have your names on, if you look and your name isn't up, if you could just write your name in the chat and Kirsten will see it and then put your name up. Is that, Kirsten, did I get it correctly? Correct? Valentina, you don't have to do your last name. I know you.
The only people with the phone numbers, they actually have to unmute and let us know. I don't think they can write in the chat, is my guess.
Okay, thanks. So I would love to hear from the phone who is there, because it's just, it really means, it's really special for me to really see you all. And we have, you know, when we have under 50 people, we can do this, and we have that today. So who's one, who's 530 area code?
Kate Reardon.
Kate! Of course I Hi, Kate. I just realized when I said your name, that said your number, that who, what the 530 is, but I don't know 970. Let's see if you can unmute and tell us.
Oh, okay. Hey, it's Nancy.
Oh, Nancy. 970. Hi. Of course, you're up in a different place. Really nice to see you. Nancy, yes. Formerly from Switzerland.
And what's your last name?
It's Addison Helmer. Yeah, okay. Addison now. It's my U.S. name.
Thank you. Great. Addison.
Yeah, A-D-D-I-S-O-N.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
But my email is njhelmers.
Right. I got that. Thank you so much. Friedel, I don't remember speaking with you before. Where are you? And tell us about yourself a little. It's just so wonderful to sort of get to know people and get to know what brings you here. And always, if you have questions, just if you have like a burning question, if you could write that in and put question, and then Kirsten will watch it and I will make sure that we get to those questions.
Friedel. Okay, I am from Switzerland.
Beautiful.
I am from Switzerland, okay. And I'm following your course, but I know Jacqueline Buchixer.
Ah, wonderful.
Jacqueline, who translated for you. And so yes. For many years I heard about you, and through the Feldenkrais Summit, you know, I got to know you more and I signed up. So
wonderful.
Here I am.
Well, welcome. And where are you in Switzerland?
Close to Geneva. I am in Nyon.
Uh-huh.
It's close to Geneva, on the Lake of Geneva. Beautiful place.
And if you look over on the screen, here's Teresa Cattarelli from the south.
From the other side, from Switzerland, from Ticino.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit further. Okay, hi, hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I see Françoise from France, or Françoise somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, hello. Okay, I'm mute again.
And Claire is also from France. I saw you here a few moments ago, which is lovely. And Yassim from Turkey, you made it. Wonderful. This is such a treasure to have this collection from around the world. And I see another name that I'm wanting to, Talia, Shafir, where are you from?
Right now I'm in New York, in the sky.
In the sky?
Yes. It's my first day of vacation. I haven't had a vacation in a year. So I decided to pack my bags in my bedroom and go to my living room and then go up here and visit you.
Ah, beautiful. And so what does that really mean in the sky? You're on the top of the building or what?
No, I'm... this is a virtual background.
Oh.
Everybody should have a virtual background.
We should. It's true. I love it.
Yes. You know, it's.
Oh, dear. This is. And Yael, I always love seeing you from Israel. It's very a pleasure. And Jean Stoner, I don't remember us speaking. Can you unmute yourself? And while she's doing that, I just love like Sarah Hauser is here and Pam Beats and Morgan, Paula, hi, it's so nice to see you. And Joyce always and Lois. Lois, you're always going to be in my heart with your memorial for your sister. Ah, that was so incredibly touching.
I think you are unmuted.
Jean, yes. Can you speak with us, Jean? Yes, Jean Stoner, is that right? Kirsten? No, I forget, her name's disappeared.
Yes, Jean Stoner.
Yep.
You. I don't know, I unmuted her, but.
Okay, great. Super. And I see, let's see, if we can, we've got two people who don't have names. I really appreciate it if we can just get to those of you who don't have a name. Can you help with that? Oh, Jean Stoner, your computer doesn't have audio. Oh, sorry. Maybe you could just write a little something in the chat of what brings you. And you know, if you have any comments or any questions, we just have Nancy, hi. I see you. I didn't say hi to you, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm in Wisconsin. And I discovered T-Touch in the 90s when I got a couple of dogs. And now I found T-Touch online and got really excited by it. And now I have two different dogs, but my sister is a Feldenkrais practitioner, and I went to the summit and found you again, and I was so excited. And she was at your seminar too, so she has been incorporating, you know, heart hugs and other kinds of things into her Feldenkrais lessons.
Beautiful. Yes, and I had a email yesterday from, I can't remember her name now, somebody who is, she's a Feldenkrais practitioner who's doing workshops in Spanish in Mexico, Argentina, Uruguay, and Spain. And so they've asked me to come on and do something on one of their evening classes, which will be really nice to be able to share. So. This is really good. Super. So there's just one other person who I see your eyes and your forehead, but yes, I see you waving. Kirsten, can you get her name up?
Victoria.
Victoria. Ah, yeah. Oh, great. Okay, hi, thanks.
Hi.
Very nice.
Hi. Yeah, I am sort of new to this course and to your meetings, but I know you from many, many years ago. I mentioned that the last time that I met you at a Feldenkrais conference, and you were working on a dog, and that was so new to me, so different. So just sometimes I use, I learned the little circle movement, not then, but later, like more recently. And I use it sometimes with my friends' dogs or couple horses. And the horses, I don't know how they reacted to it. I think I'm a little bit afraid to get to, you know, touch them or something, but the dog loves it. Actually, there are a couple dogs and a cat, and they're very, very happy with it. So this is it is a new adventure for me. And I usually don't look so disheveled, but today I am.
The great thing is on like this on Zoom, we can't really tell. Everybody looks great. You don't really have to worry.
Thank you.
That's a nice thing.
Okay.
It's just lovely to be here. Not a problem.
Yeah. So, and actually, I have a question. I would like to have some advice from you.
Yes.
Because I have been doing teach-ups for myself, and I'm having some problems with my eyes. Like this eye decided to just close up. It closes. And this happened a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And I went to the doctor, but nobody has anything positive to say. So I am doing a lot of tea touch around the eyes. I even do it here very gently, just the way you have showed, more than here like this, doing circle and a quarter. And you say it doesn't make a difference whether I do it right or left. Somehow, sometimes it feels this way and sometimes that way. I don't know, okay? And so I went to a doctor, and that doctor was not very positive. He didn't say much, but he wasn't very positive either. So now a friend mentioned somebody else, but this is very scary for me. I mean, and what I wanted to mention is that whenever there's a crisis in my life, it happened about three times at least before this time. There's a big crisis of some sort. Like right now, I don't have to explain to you the crisis. But then I have lost vision on this eye, always on the left eye. And then it would come back. And I would wear like glasses for nearsighted. But then sometimes I don't even have to do that. It sort of goes back. But this time, it's really, I'm like, I can't see with this one at all. The cataract just took over. So it is very scary and insecure. And I also have a hard time talking in a group like this one. And this is like a fourth or fifth meeting, not with you, but with other people too. And this is the most that I open my mouth, and I think it has to do with you.
Beautiful. Well, let's see. Can you just get a stool and put somewhere, get that other stool and put over here for me? Sorry, my husband is very kind. He made me some coffee. So what I'd like us to think about is whenever the terror, the fright that the eyesight won't come back, that is what stops us, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things, let us all together, I'm going to suggest a few things. And we'll start with a heart hug. Now, the reason that we're doing this is because with this 1 1/4 circles on the chest here, which those of you within yoga know, we're talking about the heart chakra.
Yeah.
And when we gently move the tissue in this around the imaginary clock, take some nice deep breaths, and let's just like, can you hear my breathing? Like I'm and go, all of you, try the other direction from whatever came first naturally. Try the other direction. See if that's good for you. It's today. Sometimes it doesn't matter to me. Today I don't like it at all in the other direction. So I'm going to go back to the direction that my hands first wanted to go in. Now, the reason, Victoria, we want to start with this, when we're in a state of fear, it's like the cell, the communication between the cells, that's one of the ways that I see it, it's inhibited. When we find this eye that, doesn't want to function right now, we're talking a lot of fear. So if we can first of all overcome some of that fear, with a heart hug, with gratitude. So, and right now I started off using, and I'd like you just all to experiment a little bit. I started off cupping my hand and putting one over the other, just cupping it, like, and imagine putting my heart in my hand.
Yes.
And then what I found, interesting, there's a piece right here, the edge of my thumb actually wants to do a little tiny circle instead of the bigger one, just a little tiny circle. One. And a smile. Now, it's not always easy to smile when we're afraid. So I'd like to invite you all just to think of something that makes you really delighted, happy, something for which you're really grateful, or just like, it can be an animal, a person, it could be a place in nature, a tree. I'm looking at the flowers on my wall, the painting, and I just, because what we're looking for here, Victoria, is to remind our bodies of its potential for ideal functioning at the cellular level. And that first concept, now I switched. I just used actually this part. I'm playing around, this heel of my hand. That's called the elephant foot. And we've given all of these different touches, different animal names. I'm going to go a little lower. And now I'm going to go down and actually start doing T touches down, farther down on this vagal tree as I see it on Sundays. If you've been there with us, you'll see, and it's in the, it's also in your membership site, this beautiful branches of this vagus system. And it's, because sometimes the fear gets us right in the gut, right? And I'm really consciously breathing in through my nose and out through pursed lips. And let's just relax and sit here a moment. And let's just take a little journey together. We'll make this a virtual journey, and we're going to just imagine that, just like magic and a miracle, we all come together in this beautiful ancient forest. And I'm going to keep doing these heart hugs and this basic spiral circle on my whole lower abdomen. And I'm going to imagine we're walking in the forest. And just kind of feel the earth beneath your feet. And if you feel comfortable imagining taking your shoes off and having like perfect footing under your feet. And some of you have, I know, magic shoes, you know, where you've got the toes are differentiated, or some sandals that you really enjoy. Just do this, because I'd like us to walk and breathe in and just imagine, what is it? What is the scent that you would like to smell? And I want to smell these beautiful orchids that we have, flowers that we have outside our home here. And I'd like us to feel, just imagine feeling a beautiful little breeze that comes through. And it's like a perfect temperature. and play with this. Have fun. Like, if you can do whatever you want, like, what would you be wearing? Let's just become very playful with this. And as I'm doing this, I'm continuing to do these circles on my whole belly area, just like. And remember, think about the smile and what actually makes you smile. What can you make happen here in our environment here? It's like feel me, I'm just feeling the breath of Mother Earth. Oh, yay. That feels so good. And let's call in some guardian angels around us, because they're always here. And these amazing angels that surround the earth, these archangels are always there. And we all have guardian angels. Let's just feel their presence. They just wait for us to acknowledge them, to call them. And just see if you can, Victoria, just imagine a movement around your eyes, just this beautiful, really soft, feather soft touches around your eyes, just reminding you of the miracle. Do it around your right eye, from which you can see. And let's all, as we're walking in the forest, just very gently bring our hands up and do the lightest possible touches all around both eyes and smile. And smile at what it is you'd like to see. What would you like to see with the eyes? With inner sight in our magical forest. And call in around you any beings you'd like to support you. I know that some of you, like me, have fairies who come around. And they're all around here. You know, just watching from the bushes and the flowers. Some of you have many, many animals. I can see a lot of kitties who are here. Many dogs. And that beautiful little powder puff, Chinese crested. all the magical dogs who are here with us. And many of you have horses. I can remember Raja, always, always in their hearts. The animals have so many gifts for us. And just feel that. And now I'd like us in this forest, each one of you, just imagine some place you'd like to sit. Where would you like to sit quietly? And imagine, or you can do it, either one, take your right hand. If that's okay, you can take the other. I'm just starting with my right because it's easier for me. And let's go down our body and outline, however, just like, I'd like to do something different. I'd like to imagine that we take feathers in our hands and we just outline with this feathery feeling, outline the edges of our body with a smile, down the whole body. And call in any of your ancestors, besides the angels around you. Call in some of your ancestors. And I'm just calling in the amazing presence of both my parents, who would just love to be here in the physical with us in the forest, but they're always here. Call in those you love who are no longer with you in the physical. And let us, each one of you, talk to your body. Find parts of your body that you want to thank. Let's thank, and with just a 1 1/4 spiral circle, just lightest touch. Touch them. And all, just find those areas. And thank them. And really thank you, like whatever part it is, really thanks that you have this part that you can use, that you can feel. And just 1 1/4 very light circles, and then find the areas that give you trouble, that may have some pain. And if it's on the back, just use the back of your hand, just very gently. And again, with a smile. And if you can't reach it, it's okay. You can just, you can get, take some of those feathers and reach with a feather. Just this feather light touch. And some of you with me in the last week we've been doing butterfly touches. So with these, if you want some magic, actually, the butterflies, I'm just going to have us just flutter around us, not touch them, because I don't think that's good for their wings, but they can flutter around and move the air and actually just see what kind of butterflies come to you. And they're going to make this little butterfly touches on you with joy, because we get to connect with them in this way. And they're just going to swirl the etheric field around you, the energy field around you. They're going to just make little swirls in it so that the parts that we have that don't work so well, we're moving in the etheric field around it. This is very cool. I've never done this before. Just imagine, this is like this magical journey that we can take whenever we don't feel so good. Now, let's just put your hand again on your chest, on your heart here. Light touches. And then sit quietly and just before we open our eyes again, let's just feel that the outline, this body, remember, it's container. It's the container where this 100 trillion cells, each one of them knowing and absolutely understanding their function. And when something doesn't function so well, we just start imagining just with these spiral circles, connecting and activating the light in those cells, wherever that is, that isn't working so well. And we just do it off the body, just around the area. And Victoria, I'm just doing my eyes right now, just imagining we're all connected here. We can all do this. And then let's open our eyes and just like, look around. We'll come back so I can see all of you. So who would like to share a little bit about any of the just little vignettes, little things that happened to you that were interesting during that process? And Shannon, I see you. I'll get to you in a few minutes. Who would like to share? Kirsten, can you
help? I have something.
Yeah, okay. And who is speaking, please?
Dawn Kelly.
Hi, Dawn. Okay.
I thought we were doing the feathers to go right up my center. And it came out, and I felt like flushes of energy could just got cleansed away like an opening. The feathers were coming out like this.
Interesting.
And I felt a cleansing. Felt wonderful. Thank you.
I've never done this feather before. This is like just
I like it.
Really nice. Thank you. Victoria, how was that for you? Can you unmute?
Talking to me.
Yeah.
I shut off my, I kind of put myself in, complete silent mode so I could focus. I've been using this for a couple of weeks now with everybody. I'm a somatic psychologist. And so I do this every day and every part of every different kind of thing. And so I was experimenting, frankly, on what happened when I just breathed and imagined I was doing that and when I actually moved tissue. And the moving of the tissue actually makes a difference with the breathing, is what I was noticing. It just
nice.
Is a way of centering. It's
yep.
a big centering piece. Yeah.
And this is Talia, because when we have this is all transcribed, so we have to look to see who is speaking. And Talia, that's interesting, isn't it? Because there are times when we can, like, we can't reach a place, but we can actually do the circles. And this is the fact that we can put our hands on ourselves and actually move in the tissue in 1¼ circles, which is this spiral, this golden ratio smile, spiral. I believe that what is happening to me, I can tell you, I am connecting with this creative energy and this genius in every cell in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And that has changed for me. And we've been doing these T-touches successfully for reducing pain and overcoming fear for many, many years. But it's only thanks to this collection of sharing that we have like this. And it's really made a difference to me having these Tuesdays when we get to come back and see people repeatedly what's happening with them, and that we can support each other in this way that I realize at a different level that, and because I say it over and over, wait a minute, this body is our vessel for our soul. And this concept of this connecting spiral circle actually does make a difference. I forgot to call Alice this morning. We have this wonderful 99-year-old woman who is still practicing. And I didn't call to get her on this morning. Kirsten, is it possible you could call her and see, because she may have something else going on, but we had to help her the last time.
Okay, do you have her number handy or do I need to, I can try to search.
Ask Judy.
She's okay. And also, just so you know, Sharon had a question and Jean.
Oh, okay, great. I'm trying to think if I'm quite finished with this. I'll come back to it.
And
but to me,
Gloria unmuted herself also.
Sorry? Victoria. Yes, Victoria. Thank you, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
So how was that for you, Victoria?
Me? I felt somewhat self-conscious. Usually when I do the tea touch, I am there. Like, it feels good. But somehow I felt self-conscious. I don't know why. But I loved watching you, and I'm going to do that, you know, when I am with myself later.
Good. Okay. Because we can't see you, because normally I've got everybody, it's so tiny, we can't see what you're doing. Remember, you're in the forest, so you can't really see.
Yeah, I know. I forgot that.
I see. So I have a question for you. You talked about cataracts. Have you had cataract surgery?
No. I just have them now, and then this was added to it. In a way, I was protecting one eye, so I used to like do this with the other eye and read with one, and then I did that a few weeks ago for several hours, and there was light, sunlight coming from here, and I'm doing this and reading with one eye, and then the next day I wake up and this eye just won't open.
Yep. So one of the things that I'd like to share, and I'm sure there are others here will have something to say about this, like I have been so brave because my eyes started to improve with the Beamer. I mean, I can drive at night, no, none of that glare. And I thought that was really incredible. But what I wasn't admitting to myself, I mean, I didn't even realize it. It's so frustrating because when in a normal page, if it's the letters are gray, it's really frustrating to read it. So I'm really looking at this elective surgery to have the lenses in my eyes replaced, and I'm really looking at that. I just hear that it's been so successful for so many people. So I can do all this stuff to improve, but I mean, here we have Joyce Anderson on here. She couldn't drive, couldn't see, and she had this eye surgery, and she can drive again. I mean, that's like a new life. It's just incredible. So I just wondered, you know, how much you're considering that.
Considering what? The surgery?
Surgery, right. I mean, yes. I
have no choice now slowly it has been getting worse. But this is now sort of a mystery. Why doesn't this eyelid want to open?
But wait a minute. You just said, look at all the strain and all, and you were closing it, right?
Yeah.
So now you just, in the meantime, start talking to all the other places.
Right.
We're so hard on ourselves, I find so often, you know. Sometimes I would really appreciate it, Joyce, if you would share what's happened to you since your surgery. Let's see if I can find you.
I unmuted now.
Okay.
I have been very blessed to have excellent vision in both of my eyes, distance, close. The doctor said I would need little readers, so I'm using little readers right now. But I can see birds' feathers when they're in flight, and that was never possible before. The surgery is very non-invasive. It is quick. It's over in 30 minutes. You're conscious. It's so wonderful, and it's such a miracle. And I said to my physician, it must be incredible to do something that so gives people a miracle every day. When you touch them, you give them this gift. And she said, I think my head's too big to get out of the operating room right now, because I was so, you know, effusive about the very fact that in something so researched and studied, such perfection is possible. And the healing is very fast, and usually there are no problems. So
and the fact that, you know, you couldn't come to us anymore to assist. You couldn't get there. Couldn't
no.
Drive.
Oh, I was totally limited in what I could do. And I was, you know, holding it together. And if I hadn't had the touches, I could not have gone on as long as I did, because that would give me strength again in my eyes. And I worked many directions, up and down, across, made a matrix, and then went diagonally and worked on the eyeball, around the eye, and on the other side of the head, trying to work with every single part of the body that might be influenced. And the doctor was shocked that I healed so fast and so well. I did the touches immediately, and I did take the whole circle of everybody with me as a beautiful garland around my neck into surgery.
Oh,
and beautiful. Knew everybody was there with me at the end. It was very powerful to have just that knowing that there are like-minded souls with you.
And that's what I love about this collection of people. Mm-hmm. And I would really like, Pam Beetz, I see that you had the surgery. Could you also speak about that?
All right, can you hear me okay?
Yep. And just before okay. you speak, I see, Yona, I hear you, I see you. And just before you say, Yona, is there anything you'd like to share with us, or have you been using, or do you have to go this very second? If I will.
Me?
Yona, no, Yona wrote in the chat, Yona Gershator, that she has to leave right now. She came in late, but she had to leave.
Oh, I'm fine, I can stay.
Oh, okay. Do you okay, great, thank you, sorry. Pam, Ms. Pam Beetz. Yes, you had the surgery a year ago is what you wrote.
Oh, yes. And you know, a couple of, kind of like Joyce, I was getting so I can't see, and I had a doctor tell me that my eyes were fine. And I went to see another doctor, you know, because cataracts have to be ripe, they say. But just kind of FYI, your actual vision makes a difference. But one thing I did that I, as a Feldenkrais practitioner and T-Touch person, that I really looked at, and since I work with horses a lot, I needed to be able to see arm's length. And I've had a couple clients get corrected for far vision, and they find it very frustrating that they still have to wear glasses all the time because they can't see a doorknob. And bifocals, I have found, often changes people's depth perception, because I tried that too with contact lenses. And if I was out at a barn, I could not see some of the divots in the dirt.
Whoa.
So those were some of the concerns I had, and I had to find a surgeon that actually understood that. So I got corrected for more nearsighted, because that's what I'm accustomed to. He understood the brain body stuff. But all that, you know, is a good consideration. It's amazing. It's amazing to get just, and I just got some real simple plain lenses and none of the fancy stuff, and it's still amazing.
So when you say simple, you mean so that you can see up close? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I got corrected so I can see about arm's length. And then I need glasses to drive, really. I can drive without glasses, but I don't feel very comfortable. But honestly, it's not worse than when I had, you know, contacts and cataracts.
Yeah.
So with glasses, my near vision is like 20/10.
Yeah. And so did you find it helpful at all to use the T-touches around your eyes after?
Oh yeah, I used it a lot on my jaw, the back of my neck, because there was so much going on in my jaw and neck and eyes from trying to see. And I can appreciate, I think it's what Victoria, because I was squinting with one eye too. And you can't touch your eyeball for a couple days immediately after, but I would do a little T-touch around my eyebrow very gently, you know, over to the side of my face. And again, the healing is just, it's easy. I think I felt more comfortable just doing some T-touch like on my hands when I went into surgery.
Yeah. And it keeps you present. And it's interesting, Talia, for all of you who do Feldenkrais work, there's something about having these 1 1/4 circles that brings you right into the body in a very different way, because it's, there's just such a presence, and it's so simple. It's really, you think, oh, how can this make such a difference? But it does. So thanks, Pam. This is always the question, and this is what they keep telling to me. Do you want to see near or far? Do you want to do one eye one way and the close and the other distance? And I don't.
Can I say something to that?
Yeah, please.
I tried contact lenses like that. And for the first couple of days, it was amazing. And then I got so I couldn't talk because my brain was so scrambled. I was tongue-tied. I got forgetful. And I was seen and have been seen an optometrist that does, eye exercises. She calls herself a functional optometrist.
Yeah.
And she just said, you can't do that because your brain won't do it. Lots of people do that. I can't do it.
Okay.
So what I would try contacts first.
Right. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it either. So what I'd like to do is answer a couple of specific questions. And then I'm going to read to you part of a chapter in this book. This is a new book, T-Touch, but it's T-Touch for you. It's for the layperson, whereas my other book is written for the healthcare professional. And I'm just going to read you an introductory chapter to it, but I want to first answer a couple of questions.
I think Jean Stoner was the first. She has three, actually.
Okay. Can you unmute her?
Yes, done. Oh, wait, she's the one who doesn't have... Okay, let me read them to you because she's the one who doesn't have the audio.
Okay.
So the first one, I'm curious what your response would be to respond to myasthenia. I don't know what this is. Gravis with T-Touch Feldenkrais. Second, what is the way to connect with an area where my hands cannot reach on my own body, specifically my back? Could you draw on paper the circle and 1/4 so I could see the spiral?
Oh, the thing is that, have I got a picture I can hold up? The circle and 1/4 is a spiral. It is that the 1 1/4 circle is very close to what's called the golden ratio. You can Google it anywhere. And there's something about that seems to connect with the communication between the cells. And I say it seems to because we've been doing it for so many years to release pain and fear at the cellular level. And it's just, if you can see my hand, it's just, because I think we may have some of you who are really new to this. You put one hand, wait, I'm going to get a different view here. You can see better. I just put my fingers on and I move the skin in 1 1/4 circle. It's 1 all the way around and 1/4 more. Now, if you have long-standing discomfort or pain, 1 1/4 circle, pause and move the skin back 1/4 of a circle. 1 1/4 and 1/4 back. Now, the thing that's so interesting about this work is that, the only studies that we have done have been, Cecilia Wendler did one for her PhD, and it was with a study done on 163, I think, soldiers who were afraid of inoculations. And so the study that she did, the person who didn't know anything about T-Touch had to do on each soldier for 3 minutes. And actually, they could have done it and gotten the same result for 1 minute, I think. But they did for 3 minutes, just all around the area. Like, not, it's really 1 1/4, and pick your fingers up and go to another spot. Now, why? No? Because we have to stay present in order to do that. It's not like in acupressure, for instance, there's a treatment that I've had where they just go round and around and around. The person doing it doesn't have to stay present at all, and you can't stay present for it. But this, just try it on your own arm and feel what the difference is when you have to really pay attention. And I think it's that really staying present, and I just focus on the roundness of my movement and the pause at the end of the quarter circle. And I have to tell you, I've been doing this stuff, you know, the circles for many, many years, and yet I have improved this week thanks to this little dog, because I've found much more presence in, you know, it's easy if I just do a 1 second circle and then I just do them, but he really likes, just try this on your own arm, this movement around the circle. Now, if you have fingers that aren't flexible, you can also do it just with the side. Let's see if I did it like that. There. Or if it's easier, the side of your hand. And if you're going to use the side of your hand, because some people in classes I've had fingers that are so stiff from too much computer work that they could not open and close the joints like this, like that, you see? So I said, oh, wait a minute, what about this little part? And for those of you who are brand new, we've given animal names to all the different parts of the hand. Now, when I first did it, it just was natural to me. I had no idea why I was doing it. They were always named after an animal that I had worked on that inspired me for that name. But now, in this day and age, you all, there's something called the nature deficit syndrome, that we are not getting out in nature. We're not realizing that we are a part of Mother Earth and of nature. And that's a real problem with health and with the whole planet. So what you can also, so all these names that I gave them brings the spirit of the animal right into our hands. And when we imagine, oh yeah, well, when I curve my finger like this, I use that soft part right there. And I call that the banana slug. Isn't that funny? And they're really quite beautiful, actually. But in order to keep this part soft, to make the circle comfortably, you need to curve the little finger. Because when I put it, try it straight. Just try it straight. And you'll find that this part under here, between where the fingers connect, oh, sorry, those of you on the phone, where the fingers, it's between where the hand connects to the wrist and to the little finger. So you curve the little finger around, and that softens that part, and then it can be like squishy and nice to make the circles. And it makes us, you know, I hope, smile a little bit when you think of that. Now, in order to get a place on your back that you can't reach, I'm going to show you something. And I showed this to Donna Shagru, who couldn't reach her back. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to reach back and take, and I invite you, oops, I'll go the other way. I'm going to take one hand and move the hands like my, instead of just taking my right hand and doing a circle, you can try that, but it's tiring. But if I take my other hand, if I can reach, and now Ah, that gives relief. Now, for me particularly, this is really good to do because I fell getting into the pool. And I really encourage you to stand up and do this if you possibly can. Let's take advantage of the energy of us all being here together. Now again, try it just with one hand, and like I would be tired in seconds. I mean, just with my left hand because I have this subluxated shoulder. So, but now together, no problem. I can do that all over. Now when I get up here on the hip, easier alone. And notice the part that I'm using. I'm making that flat hand. If you can only go back with a flat hand, like right here, now I'm using that wrist there. Oh. And while I'm standing, I'm going to show you something I did this morning in bed because I couldn't roll over to reach myself in bed. So there's my hips, sorry, and just inside the hip joint. And I came up like this and did circles all in there. And I was using, I every time I use a different part, just whatever feels right. Now, look at, I can curve my fingers. I just come up like this. Now, why was I doing this? Oh man, because I really smashed my back 11 days ago, falling, getting into the pool, and getting out of bed is like a major deal. But I can reach the back through this. That's what I was able to do this morning. So whenever you can't reach a part, and then I'm going to share something else with you. Oh my gosh. Yesterday afternoon, I was lying down, but my whole pelvis, across the whole pelvis, was just like throbbing. And I was thinking, oh my God, this, I was in our guest bedroom, and I thought, what am I going to do? And then I thought, okay, if this was someone else, what would I advise? And I would just, and I only imagined, Talia, doing the circles, like outlining my body with the circles. And I just had, wherever I could reach, I actually did it when it was easy to reach. And otherwise I just kept doing it. And suddenly the pain like disappeared. And I just had to laugh because, you know, it's so interesting. We need others sometimes to remind us how to do this stuff.
Linda, we have a few more questions.
Yes.
Sharon Richards, can you help me with what to do with heart failure and erratic heartbeats? How to work with this?
So, of course, the first thing I want to know is what's all the stuff you've done? That's always my question. What have you been doing?
Hi. Can you hear me, Linda?
Yes. Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi.
And Sharon Richards. Yes. Tell me. Yes. What's the story?
Well, I have many other health challenges going on. I was born with heart trouble, mitral valve prolapse, and arrhythmias. And through the years, I've had different surgeries and heart attacks, and then a major surgery to fix the electrical part in my heart. And it was a 10-hour surgery, and it was unsuccessful and worsened it because they tried some different things and made a mistake. So as a result, cardiac asthma and you know, more heart damage. I have arrhythmias off and on all day. And sometimes it'll go for days and night. I can't do medications through the other surgeries. I've got environmental illness. I've been living in a room for 20 years, basically. So down to the three foods and water. So, and have many other things, full of parasites, Lyme disease, just all kinds of different things going on. I've gone to doctors, had surgeries, had gone to yogis, healers to try to help me. I do believe that a lot of that has kept me alive. So I started your cellular course about 3 months ago. And I'm actually working a bit with Debbie Potts.
Right.
So some of her wisdom, you know, I've been doing the circles and I'm watching your, sorry, you'll have to, I'm watching the videos, the replays when I can. So I'm up and down, out of bed. A lot of pain, a lot of symptoms. I only get about a couple hours sleep. Basically everybody I've gone to, everybody says you've kind of gone to the end. There's nothing we can do to help you. There's just so much more going on with my body. I kind of don't want to go on and on about it, but, I'm even on the computer, I'm limited. I can usually do about an hour or just a little more at a time because I've become electromagnetic sensitive, you know, and I rent a room and the people have been kind enough to shut half the power off so I can function in the house. All my family, my direct family are passed on. So I don't have any support or help from others other than Debbie Potts. And a few friends that I can talk to on the phone now and then. But I'm loving your work. It really resonates with me. I'm very empathic. And so the best that I can do is some of what I'm learning from you. I don't know how much more to say.
That's okay. What I'd like to ask you is... If I was with you at this moment,
yeah,
we were all with you, in a classroom. One of the things that I have sometimes done is have like three or four people put their hands on you, and just do these very light circular touches. And you know, if I'm just doing a slow one like this, it's about a 3 second circle and a pause. And it's really important to smile. And the smile is at the wonder. I'm smiling now when I'm thinking of working with you, of that wonder that we were in nature, that beauty that was around us that we saw. Yes. But if I could put my hands on you and like and Debbie could be there and one of us would like to be there with you, just tell us where would you like to be lying on a really comfortable table, on your side, can you go on your back?
No, I can't breathe. It kind of goes with the lungs. Like when they did the last surgery, it kind of damaged my lungs. So I have sort of cardiac asthma, they call it.
Yeah.
So I have to try to sit up to sleep at night. And it's like, trying to find a comfortable position because it just triggers off the heart, you know.
Like you're there now, right? Where you've got the support for your head.
Yeah.
That's nice. So we could have you just sitting there like that.
Okay.
And where would you just like my hands to go on you for the moment?
Could they go around my heart?
Yes.
Yeah. It's really uncomfortable.
And what I'd like you to do, and actually,
Linda, can I ask you, for the people who are on the phone, that you describe a little bit what you
heard? Kristen, thank you so much. Oh my goodness, excuse me. Yes, so I'm just putting, Sharon is sitting up with a pillow behind her head and in a comfortable position in a chair. Then you can move that chair around, can't you, a little bit? Does it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, swing. And that's really important, that movable swing, like okay. I'm on right here on my chair, okay. Really makes a difference. And I'm putting one hand, I'm putting my left hand under my breast, and my left hand is reaching across toward the left side of my abdomen. And then, how did I do this? I was cupping just one hand over my breast, and just imagine I'm putting my heart, your heart, in my hand. I'm putting my heart in my hand, and I'd just like to ask all of you to do this, like, and Sharon, can you follow me doing this?
I can, yes.
Okay. Now, in your hand, in all of our hands, I'd like to put something magical that would give your heart support. It might be a crystal, it might be a color, it might be just a scent. And I'd like now, I'm going to start imagining that, and I'm doing this, I'm imagining Sharon touching you by working on myself, but that you can feel this, rather than me being there working on you. Okay. And so I'm going to bring the joy from my body, and I'm going to share that with all of you. And the joy is that I can connect with that divine spark in every cell in the body. That brings me joy. And I'm going to call in, may I have permission to call in your guardian angels?
Yes, you sure do.
Let's just surround us. Let's bring them, all of you who know you have them, call them in. And those of you who don't, we all have them. How do you think I manage the way I do? And just, I'm very gently, like, really feeling this heart. And now I imagine with the tips of my fingers, I can do really tiny, tiny circles all around the heart. And I would like, Sharon, to ask you, if your heart could speak to you right now, what would your heart like from you? The cells in your heart could speak. What would they like from you?
I got to try to rest more because of everything else. I find I'm fight or flighty, so rest more and bring in more light.
The light is really important.
Yeah.
That light is really important. Now, with that light, I'd like us to imagine that from the tips of your fingers, you can send light in tiny, tiny, all of you do this. We're going to send that light into the cells. And I'm going to, after I finish this, I'm going to read you something from Dr. Fritz Albert Popp about light, because his whole work, and it's really interesting to Google him, Sharon, and just like his light, his life's work was, and now it's passed, but was recognizing the light in the self. And when the cells have fear, trauma, don't work so, function so well, the light is inhibited. And it's been my experience that we can support and activate that light in the cells with these tiny, tiny 1 1/4 circles, and in a way that's comfortable. It has to be comfortable to you. And like, in through your nose, breathe in. Now, all of you, if you could just follow me, it may seem like we can all make a difference to our own hearts. And let's at the same time, like, send this out to the hearts of all those who are hurting, who don't feel love or loved right at this moment. And I ask you, Sharon, what is your spiritual path?
I've done Buddhism, Paramahansa Yogananda, East Indian, so it's kind of, I've encompassed everything, you know.
What brings you joy?
Helping others, loving others, being able to be loving them, yeah.
That's really important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So we can imagine, as we're just talking to the cells in your heart, can you think of any particular person in your community who needs, or persons who need support right now?
Yes, yes.
Can you name them?
Denise Schreier.
Can we have permission from Denise to also support you in assisting her with love?
Yes, I send some every day, so I'm sure she'd say okay, yes.
And did you see that you just smiled?
Yes.
So what I recommend to you, because this is my other question to you and to all of us, think of three things that bring joy when you think about them in your room. What are they?
I have a picture of Jesus Christ, although I'm open to all. I have a painting that I did a number of years ago of, it's the Emerald Green Forest, and it has fairies in it and lots of light sparkles. And of course, my pet cockatiel, Sassy. He's actually first on the list. Sassy, he's the first one that would bring joy. He's 20 years old.
Where is he?
Where is he?
Yeah.
Oh, right now he's in another room. He's sleeping. I did a bit of work with him. Debbie's teaching me how to work with him. And he's having his nap right now.
So if he could say, give you a message right now, what would he say to you?
He'd say, try not to worry, things are going to be okay.
And so what do you want to say to him?
I love you more than life itself, and you're my best friend right now.
Now, I just love the way the color is coming to your face and your eyes are lighting up as you say that. So where is the picture of Jesus?
The picture of Jesus is right by where my bed is. So it's right on this wall over here. So, you know, I have my water there and my Kleenex and everything. So every time I turn, it's there. It's there for me to see. Yes.
Because that Christ energy, and it's nothing to do with religion. It's
right.
The way beyond religion. That Christ energy, I believe, is however that is for each one of us, yeah, is really what this whole virus thing is about. And for you, you know, my question is, look at the things that bring you joy, okay, and hold that. Now, you first thing you said was reaching out to others. So in your pain, when your heart starts to do this stuff, like I'm holding my heart now. Okay. And I'm just visualizing that you can hold your heart. Thank you, heart. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
And then send that heart, ask your heart with you now to reach out to all the others who need that support now, who don't have the support of this group with us. And Donna, it was so sweet yesterday. I see you right up here on the screen when you wanted Monday to be Tuesday. This group that we have here, this we can hold the heart for the planet, for all those on the planet, all the people and all the animals. And when our heart doesn't work so well, go into the place of thanks. Wait a minute. Let's give thanks. Think of everything for which I can give thanks.
Okay.
Notice I changed how I'm using my hands now. And I find I'm just using different parts. I don't keep just one thing. I just kind of move my hands around. They all, what I was doing right now, that movement from the tip of my finger, it'll make you smile, to the second joint, that is named after a 2.5-month-old orangutan named Louie the second. He was in the San Diego Zoo, and I could do on his little belly, I could use from the tips to the second one, these fingers, and he had an inadequate sucking reflex. It was in the San Diego Zoo, and they had a pediatrician in, nothing helped him. He wouldn't take his bottle, like he would, didn't have a good, adequate sucking reflex. And so he just like take a few sucks and no more. And his little back was arched all the time. So, you know, from that position, that's really hard to suck. So I just started, I just want you to think now about this little guy, Louie. And I started doing little touches around his mouth. And this is something I'd like you to do, Sharon, also. And all of you, just a little simple touches around your mouth. Why? Right here, just mouth. This is where we hold our emotions. All that fear, like the heart isn't working. It's not working. It's got this stuff going on. Go to this place of survival. Play around with this, move this so that you can more easily smile when you think of, what's your bird's name?
It's Sassy.
Sassy, oh yeah. When you're thinking about Sassy, oh yeah. I don't know how Sassy is, but parrots love it when they know you, you take their beak and they'll roll their tongue around on you and really play with you. I don't know a parakeet, but you can do this yourself.
Yeah.
This helps to release the fear. And you take your lips like this. And that is real connection to the limbic system, the part of the brain that controls our emotions.
Wow.
So how does that feel?
You know what? It feels good. I can feel some relaxing sort of moving through my body. That's very interesting. Wow.
Great.
Yeah.
And you can teach this to anybody. This is what we want. We want you to take these little things of self-help, the heart hug, the ear to touch, and this thing. When you're feeling fear.
Okay.
Great.
Wow. Okay.
So, what I'd love to do is have you think, what could you bring into this room, into this environment, that would give you pleasure to look at? You know, a picture of just various. Like?
Oh, okay.
Oh, anything to do with animals, nature, fairies, beings, people, you know, light, just all of that, yeah. Right. Yeah, when you said fairies earlier, it just made me smile because I really connect with that too.
Great, great. Yeah. So I'm going to show you something that'll really make you smile. Two things I'm going to bring you all. And then we're going to take a, oops. I'm going to show you these fairies and we're going to take a break. And then I'm going to, when we start back with these other questions, I'm going to read you a poem that the fairies wrote to me. Maybe I better do it first, but let me get this first for you. Okay, now, can you see her?
Yes, yes. Oh, she's on a dove. Oh my gosh.
This is a fairy riding on a dove.
It's beautiful. Love it.
Can you see?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
She has a feather in her hand. And she's riding, oh. So this is a fairy riding a dove.
She's beautiful.
And she has a feather in her hand. I have a whole collection of fairies.
Oh, I love this one. Wow.
And I have a beautiful little male fairy, little guy. He's riding on a raven. And he has a little arrow in his hand.
My gosh, beautiful.
So I'm going to read you all something that I think will make everybody smile. And I told you the last time about this book. I wrote an introduction to a book which I think you would really enjoy sharing. It's written by, where is that book? Wait, I'm going to get it. It's called Entering the Secret World of Nature by Michael Rhodes. Yeah. I told about it a couple of weeks ago, I think. It's his 22nd book, and it's really wonderful. And he asked me to write the foreword to it because it was me coming to him, you know, in the 80s and saying that he had to write about his experiences with fairies because he was a soil analyst, a guy. Right. And fairies started coming to him and giving him all these amazing messages. And wow. And he shared some with me at the One Earth Gathering in the mid 80s. And I said, you had to write a book. So this is his 22nd book. And he asked me to write the foreword. And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm not good at doing that. I can't do this. But he hadn't told me the title. So he emailed me back and he said, but you have to. And then he gave me the title and I realized, yes, I have to because of this experience. Oh, in the foreword, I'll just read you a couple of sentences. You've heard this before, some of you, but let me see where I can find it. Well, oh yeah. So I've been enchanted by the fairy kingdom for many years until the Brisbane, that was a conference called the One Earth Gathering in Brisbane, Australia. People from around the world looking at the concept of One Earth, like being one Earth, not separated. However, My most beguiling experience was leading a small group of five-year-old children at the Esalen Institute in a wild Big Sur coast of California on an adventure searching for fairies in the Esalen Flower Garden. It was a delightful exploration that yielded excited speculation, but no fairies revealed themselves to us at that time. That was about to change. However, at a gathering a world away, during the closing minutes of a conference, of the One Earth Gathering Conference, I had the overpowering feeling that I must speak before the crowd of 100 international participants dispersed. I stood up spontaneously and asked if anyone was interested in joining me on a trip to the Brisbane Botanical Gardens to meditate in the hopes of having a fairy experience. A dozen hands shot into the air and we agreed to take the conference bus to the garden. I wish I had a photo of everyone who joined me that auspicious afternoon. As we sat down on the grass in a circle to meditate, I had a strong feeling that nature spirits were expecting us, and I silently prayed for fairy energy to grace the circle. Just seconds after I closed my eyes, two small figures appeared magically in the center of our circle. A male and a female fairy, about 8 inches tall, hovered at eye level. The male wore a shining crown with 9 points. He remained in the middle of our circle, spinning in place. The rays of the late sun shone through the limbs of a magnificent jacaranda tree, reflecting off the points of his crown, sending a beam of light into the heart of every person in the circle. The female fairy, carrying a tiny wand, flitted around the circle, touching each of us on the third eye, creating a transformative magical spark of light. So there's more, but I think that you would, Sharon, really enjoy this book for many any of you. It's a really special book.
Thank you. Yes, just with the light and the fairies, and yes, that resonated really well. Thank you. And the heart, you know how it connects. Yeah.
And imagine them around you. Just okay. Imagine them coming in there. Call them in.
Okay.
And if you put your email in there, I'll send you a couple of pictures of some of my fairies.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
And anybody else who wants them, I will, Kirsten will send them to you, because I have a lot of really wonderful fairies. So I am going to take a little break because we've been going way more than the hour I wanted to. Let's take a 10-minute break. It's 9:30. At 9:40, we'll go on a little longer and let me get to the questions that you have here. And let's take a 10-minute stand-up break. Aloha. So.